So today, I'd like to speak on the subject of watching. I think we have lots of different ideas and views of what that may be. So today, I'd like to go through and see what the Bible has to say, and let's make it clear, because the Bible is, I think, very clear about what it means. Now, of course, we always kind of get into issues in terms of what words mean in English and what they were originally in their meant in their original language. And it's not too far different, but as we go along, we will see that indeed we are to watch and that it is something that we must do and we have to do, especially if we consider ourselves Christians. So let's begin right away in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 37. Matthew 26:37, and we'll read down through verse 41. And we'll use this set of scriptures to define what this word that's translated watch means. We'll look at it in context and also look at it in the Greek as well. So beginning in verse 37 of Matthew 26, and he took with him, speaking of Christ, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. This was near the end of his physical life on earth. In verse 38, then he, Christ, said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me, he says. Now, the word here, watch, comes from a Greek word, and it's 1127 in the Strong, so I won't bother to pronounce it. But it means to keep awake. That's what the word watch means, and it can mean that literally or figuratively. And, of course, we know, you know, that you have to be awake to watch. So you start seeing that there is that connotation that goes with it. But it literally means to keep awake or stay awake. So as we go through this, in your mind, substitute that word every time we work, watch. Look, see the word watch. And it become, this is important, I think, into our understanding of what the word means, especially in the context that it's used. I found myself as I went through it that I would look at the word watch and it would connote something different in my mind other than to stay awake. So I think it'll be helpful as we go along if we do that. So continuing in verse 39, he went a little farther, this is Christ. So we understand he was, even though he was going away, that they were still to watch with him. So we start to define it, see how it means, what it means that, okay, this doesn't actually have to happen with him, and they don't have to be looking at something specifically together. This can happen even apart from him. And so he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And so he's coming up to the, you know, this most horrible and ignominious death that he was about to have to go through. And it's this point that is right before his crucifixion. So you can imagine the fervency that Jesus was feeling. And also you can imagine that he was well and truly awake. He was intently watching, as the word is translated. So then he came back to the disciples and found them sleeping. He found them not awake. And he said to them, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not stay awake with me for just 1 hour, especially at this most crucial time in the history of all mankind and specifically in the history of Christ? Verse 41, then he emphatically states, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So now we're starting to see, I think, a little more of what this actually means, and that Christ was showing its spiritual application and the figurative use of watching. So he's saying, stay awake. Be spiritually awake is what he's talking about here. He's not talking about the physical, because in terms of staying awake, that's not the way that we stay out of temptation. We don't go into temptation just because we're asleep. But it's talking about the temptation that you go to when you are not spiritually awake. And so what we're seeing here, and let me just use Thayer's definition of this word that we defined earlier as keep awake, but he says metaphorically, it says to give strict attention to, be cautious and active, and Strong's uses the word vigilance. So when it talks about this word awake or watch, it's saying okay, be vigilant, give strict attention to, be cautious and active. And so primarily when we talk about this word watch, we're talking about a spiritual condition that it's referring to, one in which we are to be spiritually awake and aware. The focus of the watch, then, is introspective. In verse 41, it says, lest you enter into temptation. That's why you are to watch. That is why you are to remain awake, is so that you, personally, do not enter into temptation. So that's why we're to be watchful, why we're to be awake. And this is why Christ made it a command. You know, verse 41, it says, watch and pray. All right? There's no equivocation. It's not a suggestion. He doesn't say, do it if you want to. He doesn't say this would be a good idea. The way he says it here is it gives us no choice but to watch and pray. These two go together. Let's notice their symbiotic relationship in Colossians 4 and 2. In fact, I can just read that for you since it's one verse and we're going to come right back here. But Colossians 4, 2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. That's the New King James. The King James says, continue in prayer and watch. And I'll quote from another version that I like to look at, and it kind of helps to put it in a little bit more modern terms. But it says, never give up praying. And when you pray, keep alert and be thankful. So when we pray and we stay awake spiritually, we do stay awake spiritually when we pray, and vice versa. So when we watch, then we're more inclined to pray. You can't pray when you're spiritually asleep. So the two go hand in hand, creating, I think, a successful formula for us doing what we're supposed to be doing. Watch and pray, pray and watch. They both work off of each other. Now, what happened was they did not watch or pray. And subsequently, what happened? Let's look down in verse 56. But all this was done that scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And all the disciples forsook him and fled. Right? So they were not spiritually awake. They were not watching with Christ. They were not praying. They were asleep, in fact. And then skipping down to verse 69, we see the outcome of this, the continual problems that were precipitated by the fact that they did not watch and pray, as again they were commanded. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're saying, he said. He lied. And when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow, speaking of Peter, also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied, again keying in on this word denied, with an oath, I do not know this man. Speaking of Christ. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you're also one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear and saying, I do not know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus who said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. So, you know, they all fled. You know, in this respect, they denied Christ. They left Christ. They went away from Christ. And then here he is. Peter says, I'm denying Christ. I mean, he says, I don't know. And he went so far as to be unchristian about it in making an oath and in his language and cursing and swearing. So the point is that because he was not spiritually awake, he denied Christ. He denied Christ physically at this point. Now back up to verse 34 and 35, Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples who fled later. And Peter, who denied him later. So even though Peter's intentions were the best, he was incapable at this point of fulfilling his own words. Because, as we read in verse 41, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now this is what Christ preceded that with, which he preceded that with watch and pray, right? He said, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This was his admonition to Peter at the time. This is why Peter failed, because he did not do as Christ had instructed, to watch and pray. And because of that, he denied Christ. He did not watch or pray. And what were the consequences of that? Well, he fell short. They all fell short, just as we will if we do not watch and pray. You know, Christ set the example. He said, watch with me. That's what Christ was doing at that time. Notice Christ's example at this time in the parallel account in Luke 22. Luke 22, 39 and verse, 22, 39 through, I think we'll read down to 47. Luke 22, and beginning in verse 39. So notice, and again, we look to Christ as our example, and he set an example in all these things, and of course, he set the example in this, in terms of watching and praying. So remember, what does it mean to watch? It means to stay awake spiritually. Luke 22:39 says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them for about a stone's throw. So he actually went, a fair distance away, and he knelt down and prayed. So again, he was over there, and the disciples were supposed to stay over here and stay awake with him, to be spiritually awake, to be doing what they were supposed to be doing, to thinking the way they should be and praying about these things that were about to happen. Verse 42, saying, Father, if it is your will, take the cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him and from heaven, strengthening him. Now notice the intensity here in verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This is what he wanted from the others. He wanted this intensity, this eagerness, this earnestness in the watching, this being spiritually awake, and praying and being sincere about it. But yet, what did they do? When he rose up from prayer and had come to the disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise. Stand up. Because you can't fall asleep if you're standing up. Moving around, at least, is very difficult. And pray, lest you enter into temptation. And then while he was speaking, verse 47, Judas came up. So we see the timing of it. That's the only reason I wanted to read verse 47. But Christ knew what was coming. He knew the future. He knew what was ahead, which is why he prayed more earnestly. Do we know what's coming? Do we know what's ahead? If we do, shouldn't we be spiritually awake? Shouldn't this keep us awake? Shouldn't this make us want to stand up spiritually and not be asleep and to pray more fervently? Of course it does. So what is it that we are to be watching in this sense? Well, we're to be watching ourselves, of course, and that's what we are intimating. And there's going to be a lot of crossover with a lot of these scriptures. But in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34, it says, awake to righteousness. It's the same word. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. So he's saying, this is how you are to watch, to be spiritually awake, is by turning to righteousness. If you don't, what happens? Matthew 26:41, you know, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So it's the opposite. That's falling into sin. We are to watch and pray. We're to watch or wake to righteousness, as 1 Corinthians 15:34 says. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll read verses 1 through 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, and verses 1 through 8. Again, this is in the context of ourselves being spiritually awake. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. You know the time and seasons we're living in. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So we know this is going to happen. You know, we know. That these things were going to happen. But you, brethren, you called out ones, you Christians who have been called of God to know, who have been given God's Holy Spirit so that you can understand the deeper things, you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day, the day of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So, as those who are Christians and who know better, then verse 6, therefore, knowing all these things, you know, what's going to happen, and that you are in light, not in darkness, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So we're to watch and not be drunk, which is what the word literally means, but to be alert. So not only are we to be awake, but we're not to be groggy. We're to be focused and alert and, of course, prayerful. Verse 7, for those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. They are the ones of the people of the darkness. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. We, if we consider ourselves brethren, if we consider ourselves called of God and Christians, then we are to be spiritually awake. We're to be watching ourselves in that respect. We are to put on, as it were, the faith, the breastplate of faith, which is, you know, faith and the belief in God and His Word. And then it says, and of love. And what is love? You know, it's the actions that we show towards God, towards our fellow man, as described in the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments of the Bible. And, you know, keep in mind the credible plan of God that lies ahead, this helmet in the hope of salvation. That is what we are to be doing as Christians, as sons of the light. That is what we are to be watching and how we are to be spiritually awake. Now, we're also to watch out for others. You need to watch out for those who can influence us wrongly. In Acts 20, verses 29 through 31, you know, Paul talks about how he did this as part of his job, and it is part of the job of the ministry to watch out for the souls of the brethren. But also, you know, once you're warned of these things, once you know of these things, then it's incumbent upon you to remember them and to do them. Acts 20 and verse 29, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So he's going through a list of things that we need to watch out for. So the wolves who come in, and they will not spare the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. So again, are you grounded in the Word of God? Are you watching so that you will not be deceived or be taken by these type of men who are going to change God's words in order to garner membership? He says, therefore, because these things are happening, watch, be spiritually awake, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And of course, Paul took his job very seriously, and he was emphatic about their need to be watchful and prayerful. So the connotation in all this is that we need to be awake and to be doing what is right, and to know what is right, and to follow that pathway in spite of those around us. And of course, we need to watch for Satan. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. I'm just looking it up in the King James Version as well. But in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant. The word there for in both the King James and New King James is vigilant. But it's the word that has been translated, the one that we read before, to keep awake. So that word there is be sober, as we talked about before, goes hand in hand with this. Not only do you want to be awake, but you want to be alert and have that mental acuity about you, or spiritual acuity more properly. It says, be sober, be awake. Because your adversary, this is why we're to be spiritually awake. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Who, knowing, you just put this back, bring it back to a physical level, who, walking around in a safari park where there is a lion, is going to lay down and go to sleep, knowing that there is a hungry lion? I mean, you've been forewarned. Who's going to do that? How could you do that? How can we do that, knowing that Satan is out there giving it 100%, hoping that God will give him just a little bit more tether, to just take it a little bit further, remove that hedge just a little bit, so that he can devour us, which is what he would do if he could. And if we're not sober, if we're not watching, he will do that if we do not resist him, and if we do not remain steadfast in the faith, in all that we have come to know and to learn and to believe that is true. If we don't resist and we give in to temptation, this is what's going to happen if we do not remain awake and prayerful. So the question then is, when are we to be watching? Now, of course, to me at face value, this seems like a silly question. It should be obvious when we're to be watching. But the Bible goes on and says many times when we're to be watching, how we're to be watching. So let's look at that in Mark 13, verse 32. And I have to believe that the reason that it says it is because people don't do it. Okay, it's, you know, to me it goes without saying that we're here in the safari park with the lion that you watch all the time because he's hungry all the time. And of course, there are other aspects, you know, in terms of watching out for others and the things that we're to be doing on our own. But Mark 13, 32 verses 32 to 37 is speaking of the end time. It says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father. So take heed. Watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Of course, this is all contrary to what some people believe, because people continue to say, oh, but you can know exactly when Christ is returning. It's pretty black and white, or red in the Bible here, what it is, or when it is that, you know, Christ is returning. We don't know. So, he says, take heed. So take careful notice of that. And because of that, because you don't know, watch and pray. So you have to be doing this all of the time. Because you cannot say he's returning in 2017 and then let's say, okay, I'll start praying at that time. We don't know. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Verse 35. Watch, therefore. So because of everything I just said, watch. For you do not know, still, here we are three verses later, you still don't know. So don't say, tell me that you do know. Don't think that you do know. That's a dangerous thing to do. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. So there's another bad point in your life to be sleeping. It's also when Christ returns. So if you're sleeping, this is not in accordance with his command to be awake, which is reiterated in this next verse. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. It's emphatic. There is no variance here. And it's something that we are to be doing all the time. If we don't, let's turn to Matthew 25 and find out what can and will happen if we don't watch, if we do not remain spiritually awake at this time, this sudden time of Christ's return. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Of course, the parable of the 10 virgins that we're familiar with. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom, Christ returning. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, or in the middle of the night, not a specific time, but more at a time that we do not expect, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise. Again, note that they are virgins. These are the ones who have kept themselves chaste from the ways of the world, from the religions and the false gods of the world, the idolatry of the world. They were those called out. They were virgins. But the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. They were not prepared. They had not been watching as they should have been. And now it was too late. Verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy some for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins also came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know. He did not see growth of the Holy Spirit within them. He did not see the character that they should have built. And now it's too late to get this holy, righteous character that's necessary. So Christ's final admonition here, verse 13, watch therefore. Okay? What is it that they're watching for here? Okay, they're not going to watch and say, okay, is he coming? Is he coming? Because you're not going to see him coming, as we've already seen. He says, watch therefore. Be awake. Be spiritually awake. Be growing in grace and knowledge. Putting on Christ. Having him grow within you. For you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. In other words, do this now. Don't delay. Don't put off. Be spiritually awake right now. Because when he returns at his second coming, it will be too late. So now we're getting into the aspect that we most closely, I think, associate with watching. And that is the return of Christ. Let's turn over to Luke 21, and we'll begin in verse 23 and go down to verse 36. And again, the context and the timing of this and Christ's words is the end time and things that are going to come to pass in the end time. And these are things I think that we are, I think, find very exciting to watch and to see God working, seeing things that he prophesied come to pass. Verse 23, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth and the distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. So we're seeing now all these things transpire. We're seeing that all these things, and it's interesting, you know, that people are going to be taken, led away captive into all nations. You know, so for some people, what good is that going to be doing to watch the things that happen after that, waiting for Christ to come to save you from that, if you're being carried away captive into other nations? And the men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation. They're expecting even more of these things to happen, either because they continue to happen, or they read some parts of the Bible and see it, or because people are telling them that these things are going to come to pass. And then, verse 29, he spoke a parable to them. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. So when we see these things happening, we know that salvation is around the corner. We still don't know the day and the hour, but we know that it's getting nearer than whenever we first started. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means pass away. So God tells us in these, you know, prophetic instances what is going to happen for many reasons, you know, such as prophecy is a proof of God. I mean, it's one of the ways that we show that the Bible is true. It shows that there is a God when these things happen the way they do and the way that they happen. And it gives the Bible veracity. You know, it's a witness to everyone what will happen, especially if they do not obey. And, you know, God's going to say, look, you're without excuse because I told you all these things were going to happen if you fail to follow me. It shows these events, too, that are going to happen before Christ returns. So you're not going to be fooled if somebody says, oh, you know, Christ has returned. He is here. And you go, well, none of these things have happened yet. So we see that, and we know it shows that there is an order as well to them. Why is there an order if not for us to, you know, follow these things to see them happening as the way they're supposed to happen? And based on these things, then we know that our redemption is near. So what then, if we know these things are going to happen and they precede our salvation, what are we going to be doing, knowing all of this is going to transpire? Verse 34, but take heed to yourselves. Okay, you need to pay attention to this. Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that in that day, in the day of the Lord, come on you unexpectedly. Yeah, how is it? You know, that seems, you know, a little bit difficult for me to see how in the world, you know, you can see this and not expect God to come, but nonetheless, these things are going to happen. We are to be doing what we are supposed to be doing, which is being spiritually awake, and sober, looking to God above. We're not to be doing what we're not supposed to be doing, being drunk, you know, not alert, sleeping, caught up in the affairs of this world, he is saying. That's what we're supposed to be doing, knowing that all these things are coming. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, Luke 21:36. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So, he says, watch therefore. So because of all these things preceding, stay awake spiritually. That's what the word means. Keep awake spiritually. And pray. Watch and pray. Again, what we're supposed to be doing. Now, we do not pray always that we can escape these things. Right? Okay, we don't pray, say, okay, God, save me from these things to come. Okay, you can say that, but you can't expect that if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Your prayer is, okay, God, save me from these things. That's, you know, I'm following what you said in, you know, Luke 21:36. I'm praying, so I want to be kind of worthy to escape. It's not going to work that way. So the intimation here is, watch therefore and pray always. Okay, if you do that, then you may be counted worthy to escape these things, and that were going to come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. We have to be doing what God commanded us to do to hope to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. We cannot just pray that it be so and not do. Those two go together. All right? It always goes together. There is what we're to do and the fact that we have the action. We have to be doing it. And we do watch and pray as we are commanded. If we do that, then we can stand before the Son of Man. So we have to ask ourselves whether watching these things, these prophetic events that are happening before our very eyes right now, whether watching these things come to pass, or whether working on perfecting ourselves, which of these two prepares us the best for the return of Christ? So which is it? The getting into all this stuff and saying, okay, well, here's who the King of the South is. The King of the South is Ethiopia, for sure. Let me just go into this, and we're going to be contentious about this to the nth degree, because I know that you believe it's Iran, and I know that you believe it's Egypt, and I know that you believe it's ISIS, and I know that you believe it's this block of nations, and you believe that it's not going to happen. All these people out there have these differing views on the King of the South, and this is what they're spending their time and effort and energy worrying and fighting and being divisive about, when we have so much to do in terms of working on ourselves, on repenting and changing and following the Word of God and watching, right? Staying awake spiritually and praying, which is what Christ is telling us to do, because we know these things are coming. So, the end time events will happen. They are going to happen. Will your repentance happen? Which one do you think is more important? So it's not because we were so clever in knowing the end time events and their order and when they were coming and who was who, that we get to stand with Christ at his coming. It's because we were doing what we were supposed to be doing. Because we're watching in that way. We're watching ourselves. We're spiritually awake, alert, and praying that we got to. So with this perspective, let's read this the end time account in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 3, and we'll skip down all the way down to verse 51. Again, the focus then is on ourselves in light of this. Matthew 24 and verse 3, now he sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? You know, who doesn't want to know those things? Obviously they did. And Jesus answered to them and said, take heed that no one deceives you. This happens if you are not spiritually awake. This happens if you're not grounded in the Word of God. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And these things have been happening since the time of Christ. People have been falling for them since the time of Christ. They are deceived because they are not spiritually awake. Verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Why? You know. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many, that's church brethren, will grow cold. But he who endures, that's he who stays faithful to the end, shall be saved. So we are to continue in love, to continue in keeping the law, to continue being faithful. This is what he's telling us throughout this chapter on the end time. Now, there is another aspect of seeing these events and then acting according to Scripture because of them. Don't get me wrong, that we are to be watching these events, and we'll get into that a little bit more here in just a bit. But like in verse 15, it says, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. So if you're watching and you see these things, then what do you do? Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So, of course, we need to know these things, right? And we need to watch for these things, among others, if we're going to be able to act on our part. But again, what is the more important thing to do? Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of the house. Let him who is in the field not go back to his clothes. These are more things which they were to do. And woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. You know, these are conditions, as it were, to avoiding the great tribulation that we are to look for. Verse 21, for then there will be a great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And then verse 23, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So, again, we need to be founded in the Word of God. How is it that we can distinguish between these people such as the false prophet who will be doing these lying wonders and that will deceive the whole world and the elect, if possible? And the only way that it's not possible is by staying grounded, by staying awake, by knowing what God's Word says, and to know whether these miracles are being done in the name of God, the true God, or not. See, I've told you beforehand, therefore, if you say, look, he's in the desert, don't go out there. Look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe. You know, we have to be educated in the Word of God to know what we are watching for and whether this is it or not. And he follows with this answer, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. So that's how we're going to know when Christ has returned. We're going to see him. Not only that, it's going to be, you know, from east to west, like a flash of lightning. So then, after telling all these things which are to come past in the end time, some of the things that we're supposed to look for and to see, he says this in verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you do not know, and this is why we watch, what hour your Lord is coming. So again, the same word, to stay awake. So are we getting the connotation now of the word watch and how it is inwards? Is how it's we're to be doing what God has us to do, what he wants us to do, what he's shown us to do in his Word of God. What we have here is a correlation between end time events and their ability to motivate us. You know, Christ is saying here, watch, therefore. Do what you're supposed to be doing, because all of these things are going to happen. And you need to be in the right state before they do happen, before I return, more specifically. We need to be right before God. So all that being said, even though I've said all these things, you don't know the hour or the specific time, is what he's also saying. So if you do not know these things, how should you be acting right now? Verse 43, but know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, again, the conclusion to this matter, you also be ready. Be awake. Watch. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Are you expecting him now? Yes or no? I'm not expecting him right now. Should I be expecting him right now? Well, not entirely, but should I be doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now? Of course, because these are going to come, these events are going to come upon us, and again, Christ's return, like a thief in the night. You know, if you would have known, you would have been awake. Right? And that's what he's saying. Be awake for when I do come. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Well, let me tell you. Whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season. Here is the faithful and wise servant. Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Doing what? That's being ready. Doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's what you're supposed to be watching and how you're supposed to be staying spiritually awake. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him, the one who is so doing, make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, yeah, he can't possibly be coming right now, I don't expect him to return right now, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and in an hour that he is not aware of. And what is the result? He will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And where does that happen? So if anything, then, this timeline that God gave to us, this order of end time events, should be instilling in us a sense of urgency. We should now be even more awake and vigilant, repenting and changing of our ways, not after he gets here, because then it's going to be too late. So when we look at these things, prophecy, and we see them coming to pass, does that give you this sense of urgency? And this is, again, what we're talking about, the correlation between some of these things that we should be seeing and why, you know, this watch therefore is in the context of these end time events, of this prophecy. It's not so that we get so involved in the nuances of prophecy or in the conspiracy of prophecy, but it's also that we're not ignorant of it either, to the end that it motivates us to do what is right, to do what we're supposed to be doing, to be spiritually awake. Let's turn over to Revelation 3. We'll look at the last three of the church eras, each who will have members at the time of the return of Christ. And notice what is being said to them in Revelation 3, first to the church at Sardis. And And to the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, saying, He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful. He's telling them what they need to do. And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. You're not watching and praying, like I said. Remember, therefore, now how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. You have been given the word of God. Let it, and the power of the Holy Spirit and God within you, change you to where you repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names in Sardis. You have not defiled, who have not defiled their garments. These righteous garments of linen that are supposed to be without spot or wrinkle. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. There are a few still. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Like we're talking about. These are not going to be the ones that I say I do not know among the five virgins. These are not the ones that are going to be with the weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are going to be the ones who were watchful and were watching, who were ready when Christ came. When he came. If you were of Sardis, or if you're a Christian and you see these words written, what should you do? What should it make you do? What should you want to do, knowing that this is going to be the condition of some at the return of Christ? Verse 7, And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. I know what you've done. See, I've set before you open a door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. As Peter did three times when he did not watch and pray. You know, the church at Philadelphia did not deny Christ in works, did not deny him in name. They said he is the Christ. And because of this, we all know the Philadelphia is the most revered group that we all want to be in. Of course, if you act this way, then you can be in it. And then finally, the Revelation 3 and verse 17, the Laodicean era. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They have these misplaced priorities. Their priority was not to watch. Instead, they were blind. Spiritually blind, instead of being spiritually awake. I counsel you, this is what you still need to do, okay? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined with the fire that you may be rich, white garments that you may be clothed, like the Sardis, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So, brethren, when we look at all these things, we can't help but be led to believe what Romans 13 has to say. And we need to feel this. Romans 13, verse 11 through 14. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. So when is it then that we should be watching? When is it that we should be spiritually awake? Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Now, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed, like we've been talking about. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us not be sons of the darkness, but sons of the light. Let us walk properly in the way of God, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. That's not what we're to be doing. We're to be waking out of our sleep, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Do not walk in the ways of this world, carousing and drunkenness. The time is now. You know, Christ even said it back in Mark 1:15, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. How close is the kingdom of God for you? You know, we're all given our 70 years, some a little more, some a little less. Some are a little closer to that, some are a little further. Some are already dead. And in their next instant of life, from the time that they died, till the time that God returns, is going to be like he came as soon as they died. So, in what watch is Christ returning for you? Do you know? Are you going to be alive when Christ returns? Do you know that for sure? No. None of us can say that with any certainty. We've seen brothers in the faith die at a young age. Some have died a long and fulfilled life. Each has, you know, Christ is working in their life. But when they died, that was it. They have no more time. Christ came for them at that time, as far as they know, because in the next instant, Christ comes. So how far, I ask you again, are you away from seeing Christ's death? I mean, from seeing Christ return after your death? If that is the case, Christ literally, as far as you know, can come at any time. So now, then, is the time that we're supposed to be watching. You know, when will he come for you? What will he find? If he comes tonight, will you be found so doing?